Father, we thank you for the blessedness of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in something, what a difference it makes. Thank you for your presence here. And we pray, Lord, for your help, guidance, and leadership in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
All right, please be seated. Amen. Are we blessed? Kawi, do you have your the camp video? Okay. All right. So show us that little clip just to excite us and to... The word is titillate. Yes. Yeah, that's the word. Amen. And while we get ready for her, I want to just remind you again that it's going to be a powerful time in Memphis. Amen. And yes, and I want to encourage you every day over the next 10 days, because I think it's 10 days from today, right? Right. So the countdown has begun. And we're counting from 10 all the way to zero. And I want you to spend some time every day in the next 10 days praying for the camp. Amen. Pray about everything, but pray especially about your personal encounter with God at the camp. Amen. Pray that God will meet you there, that God will visit you, that God will speak to you, that you will be transformed, that something specific will be accomplished in your life during those days. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, are you ready? Ready? Okay. If not, then I'm going to continue sharing with you. Okay. Okay, make it big first.
It's working, it's working.
Yeah. Okay. Hey. It's a good place to say amen, you know? Yeah. Right. Clap for Jesus. Amen. All right. So this morning or today, I've been sharing about embracing new ideas, isn't it? Embracing new ideas and doing something new, doing something you're not used to, something that is not what is normally done, something that's not popular even, but which is a good thing and which is a wise thing to do. Amen. Now, we were reading from Isaiah chapter 43 in the morning, and I think in the afternoon also it is the same verse. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. Now, God is showing us from this passage that with Him, there is nothing like it's impossible. Amen. There is nothing like it has never been done before. There is nothing like, you know, I'm not used to this. There's nothing like, this is not how we have always done it. Hallelujah. With God, there is a lot of dynamism. God is dynamic, and God is not afraid of doing new things. God is not afraid of making changes. God is not afraid of doing what people are not used to. Hallelujah. I mean, think of the kind of courage it would take to walk through the Red Sea. Because that's where God has made a way. Do you understand? Yeah, you are backed up to the wall and you don't know what to do. And you think that this is your end. And the people of Israel start crying and cursing Moses and blaming him and speaking funny about him and cursing his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and his entire family line for leading them to a death like this. Do you see? But the reason why these people are talking this way is because in their minds, they are not open to new things. Hallelujah. Because they feel that, well, we know that God can deliver, you know, but to make a way in the Red Sea, no way. It's not one of them. It's not one of them. And so they feel that that is their end. Many times we feel like our back is to the wall. Because what you see is a wall. Because you feel like your life has come to an end. And you are thinking that way only because you do not know what the Lord can do. And also because you do not expect God to do something you are not used to seeing Him do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But anyone who has a mind that is open to innovation will soon find out that with God, there is nothing like your back is against the wall. That with God, there is always a way through the wall. Amen. Amen. It may not be a way you can see. It may not be a way you're used to. It may not be a way you can imagine, because sometimes even your imagination cannot capture it. But at least you must be open to it. Can I have an amen? Amen. You must be open to new experiences, be open to new things, be open to trying out new things, and be open, because sometimes, you know, the difficulty is God's way of introducing you to a new way of doing something. Are you getting what I'm saying? The stress you feel is God's way of introducing you to a new thing that you are not used to. Hallelujah. It is God's way of lifting you up to the next level. It is God's way of growing you to the next thing in Him. Amen. You know, I remember as a kid, I grew up knowing that when people wanted their hair to grow, they would plait it. Is it true? Yeah. Did you see something like that when you were growing up? Yeah. I mean, these days they don't do that anymore. Right? They would braid the hair, or they would plait it with some type of a thread, right? Black thread, yeah, called crocodile. Amen. But there was something about tying up the hair and creating tension and tightness in it that only yielded good results. Because when you undo that hair, you just have longer hair. Is it not amazing? You have longer hair. Your hair is longer than what it was before. If you can endure the tightness. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is the same reason why God allows his people to get into tight places. Amen. Because when the experience is over, you would have learned a new thing. You would be a new person and you would have learned a new way of surviving, a new way of living, and a new way of being better. Hallelujah. And so we want to become people who embrace new ideas. Hallelujah. No one should ever say it will not work. Amen. It will not work is the language of people who are stagnated and don't care about it. But people who care about stagnation and people who care about moving forward, they say something like, why sit we here till we die? Do you know the story of the lepers? The lepers who said, why sit we here until we die? They said, if we get up and go forward, you know, we may live or die. But as for sitting here, we are guaranteed to die. Hallelujah. That if we sit here, only one thing is guaranteed to happen. There is no chance for survival in this place because there is no food here. But if we get up and go, those people out there, they may actually see us and show us mercy, or they may see us and kill us. But if we die there, at least we died trying, isn't it? At least we would have died trying to be better.
Wow.
So the lepers said, let's get up and go. But the Bible says, as they went, the Lord caused the people on the other side to hear the sound of horses and chariots. And yet it was just lepers moving. Four of them walking. And when four lepers were approaching the army on the other side, the army felt like they were hearing thousands and thousands of horse hoofs and steps, and they got up and ran away and left everything there. Do you see? So when the lepers got there, to their surprise, there was no one there. You know, I'm sure the one among them who brought the idea, you know, he said, you see, I told you. They started to enjoy the things, you know, and they started to heap up the things. That's when one of them made the statement, the thing which we doeth, it's not good. Said that, let's go and call others to come and enjoy some of the booty. Because God has been gracious just for trying. Hallelujah. Just for trying. Just for trying. So knock those words out of your vocabulary. It cannot work. It will not work. It cannot be done. It can be done. It can be done. It is new, but it can be done. Hallelujah. And as we try to do it, we will be surprised that God will reward our faith and God will reward our trust in him. That at least we are trying to do something new. Amen. Our world advances on the backs of people who dare to do something new. People who are prepared to say, this is not good enough. Let's try something new. Let's do something we haven't done before. Let's make it faster. Let's make it move faster. You know, let's make it move faster. Some time ago, if you wanted to get on the internet, you would just set it up and then you will click log on or something. Then you're going to hear a sound in your computer. Whee! It means the internet is being summoned. And then the internet will eventually arrive on the computer. You know, and in the meantime, you can actually, while you're dialing up to get onto the computer, you can actually go and take a shower and come back. Because by the time you come, the internet would have arrived and it will be ready. You know, if you wanted to open your email, or you open an email and someone had attached something to download, you did it in the night and went to bed so that by the morning, whatever the person sent you will be there to see. So maybe it's a picture. And pray that they don't send you a whole album. That will take the whole week. You will start on Sunday night to download it, and you will see it just in time to talk about it the following Sunday in church. Do you see? But somebody must have thought, let's make it faster. Let's make it faster. Let's make it faster. And let's make it faster. And you can see the people who are behind innovation often are rewarded with wealth. Hallelujah. They are rewarded with wealth because creativity is an attribute of God. Do you understand? People who use their ability to create things, you know, have the highest rewards because they walk in a great blessing and they walk in a great grace. They operate like God. Amen. They operate like God. God is the one who creates. God is the one who says, let us make. Let us make. Let us make. Not let's go and buy. Do you understand? Yeah. God didn't say, let's go and buy man. Says, let us make. Wow. Do you understand? Wow. What we don't have, we make. Hallelujah. Yeah. We make. God has given us the ability to make things and to create things. But you can retire that ability and continue to just look at what others have made and continue to make nothing. And then you realize that the world is divided into two groups of people, those who make things and those who use them. And those who make them are always richer than those who use them. Isn't it? Because those who use them always have to reward those who made them very heftily, you know, for the privilege of using what they have made. You know, whether it's a song or a book you've written, even to quote something from somebody's book, you know, you have to let the person know about it, and the person has to give you permission. And depending on what you're doing with the quote, they may even ask for some money. Do you understand? Hey, give me some money for using what I wrote. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let us become people who are like God. Amen. Now, I was sharing with you five examples of new things that God does. One of them is that God embarks on new projects, new schemes, new ideas, and new plans. New projects, new schemes, new ideas, and new plans. That is God. Hallelujah. God does something new, even though it's not been done before. Hallelujah. And so if you're going to walk with God, get used to doing new things. Embrace new things. Amen. Don't be afraid of trying new things. You just might discover something that will be your greatest blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Including new jobs. Amen. New jobs, new ways of earning income. Hallelujah. You should not be afraid of trying something new, because you will be surprised what blessing will come out of it. Say amen. Amen. Right. Number two thing that God does, new thing that God does, is God gives new languages to his people. Right? Now in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, the Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Then it says, they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. they shall do what? Speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They shall speak with new tongues. I mean, the whole idea of speaking in tongues, which, by the way, is our memory verse today, right? So we're going to do it right after. Amen. Right? But the whole idea of speaking with new tongues is innovation. It's doing something new. God says, here is someone, I saved him, the Holy Spirit has come into him. How about he does something that is visibly new? Do you understand? Because most of the change that occurs in a person is actually internal at the point of salvation. At the point of receiving Jesus Christ, the change that occurs is spiritual. So it's not a change that you can see with your eye. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon people also, then how else would you know that the Holy Spirit has come? Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the Lord says, let's do something. Let them speak something new to mark the beginning of a new life. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. To mark the beginning of the change, let's do something new. Hallelujah. And often when you are making or doing something, we're making a change or doing something new or entering a new era, you know, it's good to celebrate it. Amen. It's good to have something that marks the new thing you're trying to do. It even helps you to respect it. Do you understand? It is one of the reasons why you have a wedding and have a celebration. Now, you don't just meet somebody in the street and say, hey, I like you. You like me? Let's go to my house. Let's stay there. Here's the house. And you just enter the house. From today, you're my wife. Say after me, I'm your wife. You get it. You're having your own type of arrangement. And they say, say after me, I'm your wife. Say, I'm your wife. Yeah, that's it. It's finished. No. Hallelujah. It's the same reason why we have graduation ceremonies. Do you understand? To celebrate the passage onto another stage of life. And it sort of leaves an imprint on you. It reminds you that an era is over and a new one is beginning. Do you understand? And so that's one of the things, or one of the purposes of speaking with new tongues. That when a person is an unbeliever and you're moving around and cursing and swearing and your mouth is full of foul language and filth and saying all kinds of things, even if you didn't say them, you thought them, or you were even comfortable where they were spoken. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. You wouldn't say it, but if someone says it for you, you will smile nicely in acknowledgement of what they said. Do you see? But when you become born again, then the Lord says, let me change even your language. Let me change your prayer language. And I'm going to cause you to speak in a new way. And so you start to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. As the Spirit gives you utterance. And that one experience alone can sustain you for an entire rest of your Christian life. Because it always reminds you of the day of change. It reminds you of the day that something new happened to you. The day Jesus Christ came to live in your life. The day Jesus came into your heart. And that supernatural existence began on that day. Hallelujah. So God gives new languages to his people. Amen. Well, that also means then you should not be afraid of learning a new language. What do you think? That you can also learn a new language. You can learn to speak Spanish. You can learn to speak French. You can learn to speak what other languages? Portuguese, Dutch. Yeah. Chinese. You can try it. Amen. You can try it. And you must not be afraid of trying a language. You may sound funny, but hey, even without learning a new language, you don't know that you already sound funny. So at least if you're going to sound funny, then just try it on some new language. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't be afraid of doing something new. The main thing that keeps people from doing something new is what if it doesn't work? Do you understand? But what if it doesn't work is the same as when you didn't try to work it. Isn't it? What if it doesn't work? Leaves you in the same spot as where you were before you ever tried to work it. Hallelujah. So it is important to be bold and to try new things. Say amen. Amen. Number three, God gives brand new instructions to his servants. Right? God gives brand new instructions to his servants. We're talking about new things that God does. One of them is new instructions to his servants. Amen. Every instruction has an expiry date. And sometimes it is common to find God's servants operating on old instructions. Do you see? They are operating on old instructions. What they are doing is what God said. But what God said is what God said then. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. And when you look in the Bible, you see examples of that. Hallelujah. Now look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Hallelujah. Are you with me today?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Hallelujah. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 10, just back up to Luke chapter 10. And start from verse 1. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Amen. The next verse. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Do you see? Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Isn't it? Then the next verse. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. Right? And then the next one. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Amen. So this is the experience that Jesus was referring to. Jesus was reminding them of this day and asking, do you remember when I sent you without the purse and without scrip and without shoes and all that? And they said, yes. And said, when I did that, did you lack anything? Do you see? And they said, we lacked nothing, right? So back to Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Do you see? Because the terrain is changing. You see? And this is where in verse 37, this is where verse 37, verse 30, he says, for I say unto you, that is written must yet be accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Hallelujah. And then verse 38. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. We knew it, Lord. We saw it coming. So we brought two swords already. And he said unto them, it is enough. Hallelujah. But I just want you to see how the same Lord is telling them two different things, but in two different seasons of their walk with him. Hallelujah. So there is a time in your walk with the Lord where God may be saying this to you, and then at a different stage of your walk with the Lord changes the instructions. Amen. Now, being able to keep in step with God requires that you be able to recognize and embrace new things. Amen. And not just say that I am used to another way or an old way of doing something. That is how people lose, you know, their edge in walking with the Lord. That is how people lose their anointing. That is how people backslide. That is how people lose their relevance, because they are not able to embrace new things, because they are so stuck with the old and so attached to the old, and they are attached to the old in the name of this is what the Lord said. Do you understand? Now, no one is denying that the Lord said it. Do you understand? No one is denying that the Lord said it. The Lord did say it. But it's not the only thing. God is not finished yet. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're walking with someone and you're following directions, you can't continue to go straight because that's what they said. Do you understand? Now he says, make a left turn. And you say, no. Straight is the way. Straight is what I heard. Straight is the Christian thing to do. Straight is the way it's done. So let's keep going straight. And it is at that point that you start to get lost and start to lose everything you stood to gain if you had continued to follow. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? It is a very important thing that God, you need to understand that God is a God of new things. And God will bring a new idea. And God will give you a new way of sometimes continuing. The general thing that God is doing is still the same. Do you understand? The general thing is he's trying to build up disciples, and he's trying to make these people into apostles who will continue to preach and continue to do his work. And he's showing them two things. In one instance, he's showing them how to go without anything. Do you understand? Then in another instance, he's showing them how to go and preach with everything. That's some of the moves. When you're making it, you have to move with everything, even including a sword. Do you understand? And that's where Peter said, Lord, we brought two. Yeah. Amen. That in you're going to a certain place, and in spite of the danger, you see, in the first instance, he told them, I'm sending you among wolves. That is dangerous. But he said, don't take anything. You just go. I will take care of you. And they went and they lacked nothing. They came to confess. The Lord asked them, when I sent you without all these things, did you lack anything? He said, no, we didn't lack anything. And as a matter of fact, we thought that that's what sending is about. Do you see? I'm sure these people had even watched how somebody tried to come to follow Jesus Christ. And the person was a rich man. And Jesus told him to go and sell everything and come follow him. So they must have thought that, you know, that's how it's done. You know, I mean, following the Lord, you go, you have to sell everything. Do you understand? I said, well, we have also left everything. And we've come here, so you should go and sell everything. But now they are in a different era and a different experience. This is chapter 22. Do you understand? Of Luke, and it's about to end. And now the Lord is saying to them, listen, if you have a purse, go get it. If you have this, go get it. If you have that, go get it. It's new, but do it. Because that is also from the Lord. Can I have an amen? Now there's an even more interesting one. There's another interesting one, I should say, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. This time is the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17. says in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him. Everybody say the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
What came unto him?
The
word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Hallelujah. Then he said, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Hallelujah. I have commanded the ravens to do what? To feed thee there. You see, not just to feed thee, but it's tied to a place. Do you understand? He said, I want you to get up and I want you to go eastward. Now, this is very specific directions. That means if you go to the west, I mean, if you do 210 west, you just missed the Lord. That's not, it's not enough to be going. Do you understand? It's not enough to be going. That you're going, but you're going, but it's 210 west. But the Lord said, do 210 east. Do you understand? So this guy, the Lord is saying, I have commanded, you know, I have commanded. That means I have stirred up, I have orchestrated, I have organized, do you understand, some ravens to sort you out if only you will go to 210 east. Do you understand? Now, where we miss it is that sometimes we feel that, well, it's 210 west. It's still 210. Do you see? Yeah. That's how we miss the Lord. So you are surprised that you went on 210 and then you didn't find provision. Do you understand? And you feel like the Lord has tricked you. But God didn't trick you. God doesn't trick anybody. Hallelujah. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. It's men that trick people. But God doesn't trick anybody. So it says, has he said and shall he not do it? Amen. So he said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I mean, this is a very important revelation. That when God asks you to go somewhere, you better believe it and go. Because you do not know who God has organized to feed you there. Hallelujah. You do not know who God has organized to feed you, but there, the feeding will occur there. If you are not there, you will not be fed. Don't be surprised if you're hungry. Amen. You have to be at a place to find food. Isn't it? Most people in a bathroom are not eating. Is it not true? Yeah. Because that's not where the feeding happens. You have to go there to the kitchen where the food is. Do you understand? Now continue. So the Bible says he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. Amen. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, because and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Amen. So you can see that God has kept his word. Isn't it? Right. Then comes the next verse, verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Do you understand? Then verse 8 says, and the word of the Lord came to him. Do you understand? The word of the Lord came again. What is coming again? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Then in verse 9, the word of the Lord says, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Do you see? Then he says again, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Hallelujah. See, your ability to follow these new things. You see, this is where the change of style occurs. Do you understand? This is where God begins to sing to you and says, change your style. Do you understand? Now, if you continue to hold on to the old style, because as you can see, the old style is considerably different from the new style. Are you getting it? The old style involved living by the brook and ravens feeding you. Do you see? Now, like, what kind of food do you think a raven will bring you? It's not about to bring you jollof and these type of things. So, yeah, those of you already thinking about jollof, you missed it. You get it? Yeah. Because Paul was just expecting, oh Lord, why don't you let a raven come and feed me? No! There is no raven bringing anyone any jollof. A raven will bring you what it can carry. Do you understand? Dead pieces of meat, worms, little kebab leftovers, little things like that. That is what you're going to get from a raven. But it sustained him and he got used to it. Do you understand? He got used to it. But then comes the law, because God is not done with you. Do you understand? God is up to something. Then God comes to change his style. And God says, now you're not going to be fed by ravens anymore, but we're going to introduce the feeding of widows. Do you understand? That is different from raven's food. Maybe here you can expect some jollof, except that she's a widow. That's a warning shot right there. Hallelujah. That she's a widow, so she probably doesn't have much. Do you see? And you see, God has changed how he's going to feed you. God has changed your source of sustenance. God has changed how you live. God has changed what happens to you. He has just changed it. It's a new idea. It's a new way of doing things. It's a new way of surviving. It's a new way of living. Do you understand? It's a new way. It's a new way of earning an income. It's new.
You're preaching.
But you see that some people cannot seem to move on to this. Do you see? They are so stuck with what they know. They are so stuck with eating all natural. Do you understand? All natural organic worms from ravens. You see, but now that the widow is going to cook some food for them, they're not used to it. See, and they are not embracing it, and they are not open to it. And I can tell you, this is where you can die. You can die at this point, because the job of this widow is to sustain you. Wow. If you reject what the widow is doing, wow, you are rejecting sustenance. Don't be surprised that you die and you dry out and you finish. Don't be surprised, because what God provided for you was supposed to sustain you. Sustain. To sustain the thing is to maintain it. To keep it alive. You get it? To keep it, to sort of preserve it, keep it hanging. I mean, keep it there. Amen. Amen. And God said, I've commanded someone to do that for you. So if your aversion to new things, moving to new places, going to new places, trying out new things, doing new, relating even with new people. If you are so used to what you have always known and you are unwilling to break out of your shell to experience new things, then, my dear friend, you are stuck with the ravens who had stopped coming anyway. You're about to die. Says the brook dried up. And so did the command of the Lord to the raven. You see, you'll be there, then the raven stops coming. Because God has stopped commanding the raven to come. No more ravens. No more food. No more money. You are broke. And you are dried out because you are not willing to try a new thing and to embrace a new idea or a new instruction that God has given. Hallelujah. But not so with this man. This guy, the Bible says in the next verse, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman. You see, the widow woman, the one God talked about.
Wow.
The widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. You see, he was testing it. So he took the lighter one first and said, let's just make it water to start. Then verse 11, as she was going, when he realized that it worked, then he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, some jollof. If you have a little jollof, bring me some jollof in thy hand. The word of God is true. As he tested the thing, he saw, first of all, a widow. God said, I've commanded a widow. And when he arrived in the city, behold, here is a widow. Wow. And she's gathering sticks. So he tests the thing. Excuse me, widow. Can you give me a little water? You know, he all along wanted more than water. But he just said, can you bring me a little water in case this is not the widow? Because we are trying new ideas. Yeah. Says, I'm taking careful steps, but I'm taking them anyway. Because I know I heard from the Lord. God has changed my instructions. And then as she was going, when he saw that the thing was working, he said, if God is paying, I might as well just eat more. I mean, said, excuse me, can you make it some jollof instead? Add jollof to the water. Hey! So it looks like the water is the main meal and the jollof was the side. But that was not it at all. The jollof was the main thing he was asking for. And the water rather was supposed to be the side. Right. So he said, bring me a morsel in thy hand. Then the next verse. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. See, now these are strong words, right? Then the next verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Isn't it? And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Eish. This man was a full believer in new things, embracing new ideas. As God has said, a widow is going to sustain me. I'm not about to listen to stories. I'm not about to listen to excuses. I'm not about to bow to difficulties and challenges that present themselves in my way when God has clearly told me that this is my source. See, many people are stopped by these kinds of challenges. Verse 12. Many people are stopped by these type of things. Do you see? They are stopped. They know they are doing the right thing. But when they start to meet or be confronted with challenges, then they start to backtrack and they start to back off. They start to return. You see, because if you're a good prophet, you are likely to be a bit more sensitive to a widow who has actually laid out all her finances to you and is telling you that I don't have anything, you know, and even this food I'm about to make, I'm just going to make it and then my son and I are going to eat it and after that we are planning to die. You see, this is it, we are dying, you know, and this would have been a good place for the prophet to stop. This is a good place to kill your new ideas. This is a good place to say, maybe God didn't send me after all. It's a good place to say, well, I mean, if God had really sent me, then God should have provided. Why is God sending me to take a widow's money and take a widow's food? But the man believed. He said, it's a new idea. I'm not used to this kind of thing. But I know that God is a God of new ideas. God is a God of new ways to sustain people. I tell you. And so he quickly jumped over this excuse and said, we can still do it. We can still do it. He said, there will be enough for you, but me first. See, I am the prophet. I need to eat first. Do you understand? I've left everything and I've come here. What God promised me here is sustenance. And so you go bring it and sustain me and allow God to also do his part. Isn't it? And so in verse 14, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. See, these are all, the Lord didn't say all these things to him. But he just assumed that if God sent me here, this must be the condition. That you give it to me. If God said I will find a widow, I've found a widow. The widow has something to sustain me, then God must know exactly how this thing is going to continue. So by faith and according to the prophetic word, I am telling you that the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth, we shall be okay in this place. Hallelujah. He said, we shall be okay in this place. We shall be okay. It doesn't matter what challenges we face in the new place. This is a very important message I'm preaching to you. Because it is the enemy and the killer of new ideas and the killer of new ways of sustenance that God provides for his people. That when God comes up with a new way to sustain you, we often turn our backs on the new way because it's scary. Do you understand? It is scary. It is scary. Now, after, if we eat this woman's food, and then after that, what? What's going to happen? Do you see? Yeah. But God had already said that the woman is a widow, so don't expect much. Your eyes must be on me. She's a widow. The woman you're going to meet is not some rich man's wife. You are about to meet a widow, a woman who has no source of income. That's where I'm taking you. It's new. It's different from the ravens. Even the food you will eat will be different. You see, there's mention of oil here. So there's fried rice and that type of thing in this environment. Do you understand? But with the ravens, dried worms, organic. Do you understand? But here, some fat. We're going to eat some fat. We're going to put on some weight. It's going to happen right here. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see that it's different. It's different. You're not used to it. But it's still the word of the Lord unto you. Hallelujah. Embrace a new idea. Let's do something you haven't done before. If someone says, let's go to a camp in Memphis. You know, one pastor was telling me yesterday how he said he was speaking to one of his church members. And the church member who has already registered to attend the camp was saying that she's even wondering because even she's never been to Memphis before. And if she goes to Memphis, you know, even who is going to pick her up from the airport. And she's just thinking that if she gets there and doesn't find someone to pick her up at the airport, then I wouldn't be able to find the camp place so easily. You know, so I'm just thinking of just not going. Do you see? Do you see? You see, it's the whole aversion to new things. Yeah, some says she can take Uber, right? Well, she probably hasn't heard about Uber. Maybe, I don't know. But you see, the thing is that we are in a habit of backtracking and returning in the face of the smallest challenge and the smallest difficulty. But God never promised that it would be easy. That even the widow who is going to sustain you, even her announcement You see, it's such that if you flow with it, you're almost a wicked man.
Wow.
You see, you are so insensitive. You get it? And you start to think, as a prophet, what would the newspaper say? Prophet eats widow's last meal. You get it? If nothing happens and she dies, widow with son, and they die. Yeah. Family extinct after encounter with prophet. Then they'll bring a picture of the prophet. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can see that you have someone, their problem is not time off work. Their problem is not even the money to get to the place. But the devil is still fighting them even after they have arrived at the place. It's like there's a fight going on in your mind. You know, because I'm sure if the camp would have been at some other place where she knew her way around, something she was used to, this would not be a challenge at all. She would just, you know, not a problem. She would be there. But now she can just see that whole thing of trying new things. You see, and as you grow older, you lose your sense of adventure. Do you understand? You have to be intentional about retaining it. You just like you're intentional about exercising. See, when like these kids, they don't exercise. Do you do any exercise? No. Her normal life is enough exercise. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? By the time a kid, even if you send her to go get something, she skips. You see, the person is skipping to go to the place. So just living, just your normal life as a child keeps you healthy. Yesterday we went to a place, a new gym that has been built, and they were showing us that the way they supply energy to the gym is as people are on the treadmill and so on. The treadmill powers the gym. Is it not clever? Yeah. So as people are riding the bikes and walking on the treadmill and so on, it's actually working and generating the energy that powers the whole gym.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a self-sustaining sort of gym. Yeah. As you work it, it just keeps you, you know, and it's like that. That's how these people are. But as you grow older, it changes a little bit. You have to arise, you know, and step out of your body and watch your body lying there and say, "Eh, get up and let's go." Do you understand? You have to separate yourself from your body. Yeah. Sometimes David asks himself, "Why are you so downcast, oh my soul?" I don't know who is asking who, but obviously there are two people. Where somebody is asking the other person, "Why are you so downcast?" You need to get up. You need to move. You need to bring yourself along. Hallelujah. You need to do it. You should not let obstacles and challenges and difficulties stop you just because you're not used to it. Hallelujah. You must try to retain your sense of adventure as much as you try to retain your activeness. Do you see? But you see people going for walks. You know, older people are the ones who go for walks. I mean, walking that is pointless. I mean, a walk that goes nowhere. You're not going anywhere. You're just walking for the sake of walking. But children or younger people, they don't have to do this type of pointless walking. They are walking and they are running with purpose, including things they have not been asked to do. Yeah. If you have one of these notorious kids in the house, time you come, he has moved all the things to one part of the house. No one asked him to do it. You see the thing? Yes. And that's just free exercise. Pull down everything, climb everything. I mean, you see them climbing, trying to climb. I mean, climb different things. But older people, even when they have to climb, they say, hey, this thing is too much. Oh. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? So you have to work on yourself. Say amen. You have to work on yourself. You have to know that you are often on the threshold of a miracle. Do you see? And often in that, to step in that miracle, you will have to do something you're not used to. You'll have to pull yourself through it. Allow yourself to have a new experience. You know, so the pastor said he encouraged the person, because I think when the person was feeling that way, then she went to speak to someone else. And the person who is not coming to the camp, I think, also encouraged her. Then you know, let's just stay here together. Do you see? Yeah. let's just stay here together. You see. So the pastor said, no, don't stay. Let's go. The pastor gave her an assurance. If you get there and you don't have anybody to pick, you call me. I will come and get you myself. And just encourage. That's a good pastor. Clap for the pastor. It's a blessing. Yeah. He said, I'll come and carry you there myself. I'll come and take you there myself. And with that little encouragement, the person has changed their mind. Hallelujah. So if you didn't have someone like that, then would that be the end of you and everything that God has for you? How many times we may have stopped right short of a miraculous experience just because we're not prepared to do the new thing or the thing we're not used to doing, you see, that new encounter or experience requires. But that is changing in the name of Jesus. I said that is changing about you. You're going to be a lover of new things. You're going to look for new things to do. You're going to try doing something new and get excited about doing the new things. Yes. And it will bring you life. I said the tension is good for you. I tell you, the stress, not having answers, is good for you. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've looked, even financially, I tell you that sometimes coming to a tight place and wondering how I'm going to cross this bridge. Because you think of how much money you need to be able to cross that bridge, to be able to solve this problem, or to be able to do this. And you start to wonder, hey, where is it going to come from? Do you see? And many people just shrink and they just back off and just retain that same old life of poverty and stay in that same old box because you are not willing to exercise your faith. And trust God to bring you into a new place and into a new level of living that you are not used to. You are not used to it. You haven't seen it before. But God has to show you. Do you understand? When you think about this woman, she went to make the food. Then she brought it and she served it to the prophet. Which means now she's even speeding up her possible death. Because the food that would have sustained her for a day, she has served it to this prophet. But that was the beginning of miracles. Are you understanding me? It was the beginning of miracles. There was another widow. She also had just a cruse of oil. She didn't even have food. But the prophet said to her, you have to bring vessels and start pouring the oil. Pour it as though there is more. You know, and I can imagine her little cruse and a big barrel. And she starts to pour the cruse into the big barrel. And it looks like this thing is going to be nothing but a drop in this. But as she's pouring it, it's not finishing. As she's pouring it, it's not finishing. As she's pouring it, it's not finishing. Hallelujah. That is the life of miracles. Embracing new things. Can I have an amen? Personally, I've seen so many times where I've come to a place, maybe I need to pay for something, I need to buy something, and I don't have the money to do it. And I'm just wondering, what is going to happen? I tell you, and you feel so tense, and you just wonder. But then the next thing you look, that experience is behind you. The thing is down there. It happened, and you are over here. Do you understand? You are over here, and you don't know what lifted you over it. But you are just in a new place and you have survived. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. I said that will be your story in the name of Jesus. Believe in miracles. Believe in miracles and embrace new things. Amen. Embrace new things. Go to new places. Hallelujah. Go to new places. Visit new places. Amen. Eat new foods. Cook new things. Amen. Use the people around you to experiment. Yeah. If their tummy runs, give them Tums. Always have Imodium and Tums and serve them as dessert. So just after they finish eating the meal, you just give everybody complimentary Imodium. Just, this is just, it's free. Just in case. I mean, just in case. Yeah, if you don't need it, praise the Lord, just keep it in your wallet. Yeah, if you happen to need it, well, yes. Hallelujah. But believe God. Try a new look. Just try. Amen. Try a new hairstyle. There's a reason why the hair keeps growing. When I was a kid, I used to wonder that if you open a human head, what will you see? A lot of hair. And that's what I thought. I thought that if you were to split someone's head in two, it must be full of hair. Because I was always wondering, where is the hair coming from? You know, it keeps coming and coming and coming. And then I used to think that ladies have more hair in their head than guys. Maybe we had more brains and they had more hair. I mean, if you look at Wendy and Lord. Lord says he has the brains and she has the hair. I used to wonder all the time. You see, but try a new look. If it doesn't work, you will know it very quickly. But thank God. Thank God that's not the end of your hair. It's going to grow again. Yeah. And today is even a lot easier. Because you can grow hair like from... Like, oh, not even overnight, from morning to evening. Yeah. I see you breakfast time, you have no hair. By lunchtime, your hair is, I mean, all the way back here. It's grown. A lot of vitamins that do wonders. So there's no need to be afraid. I said there's no need to be afraid. Hallelujah. Look, your life will start taking on a new shape. A certain freshness will come to your life. A certain freshness, you know, will come to your life. The boring routines of life will be eliminated. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you no longer wish you were dead. You know, sometimes people get to a place where it's like, what's the whole point? You are just so tired and so bored with the same old routines that it's not. But you need to try. Try something new. Just do yourself that favor, because it wakes you up. It causes you to live. It generates a healthy tension, just like the hair that they tie. The people who make their those who plait their hair and they braid it, they do it for a reason, I tell you. Yeah. And sometimes you see it's been stretched so tight, even the kids, they can't sleep. Eish. I mean, your mother is pulling the hair out of your brains. Hey, yes, you see the kid is crying. As they bring the person to, and you know, they have these people who be doing your hair, you know, and you watch them, a little girl, let me get one of these little girls. Like that, you know, and the person just keeps going like that. And then they'll just be tying the thing. Hey, and you see my little sister, I mean, her hair. And the head is being shaken like that. Yeah. By the time they finish, in fact, when they see the woman who comes to do the hair, they start to vanish. They run away. Because it's torment. But your mother will give you no rest. Because she needs the hair to grow now. But after that stretch, you see after about a week, Then they take it off.
Wow.
And when they take it off,
wow,
she has an afro.
Wow.
Yeah. Tension creates afros.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I think Paul has been braiding his hair. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't be afraid of tension. Financial tension, I tell you, it'll keep you praying, keep you believing, or stretch your faith. It will make you creative. It will even open your eye to all the waste in your life. Yes. Often there's a lot of waste in our lives. A lot of waste, but we cannot see it. A lot of waste. But you need some stress to see that you're living with a lot of waste. You're throwing money away every day. And it is only your current need that has helped you see it. Because when you come under stress, you say, I'm no longer going to do this. I'm not buying this anymore. I'm not spending this anymore. Suddenly you find with the same income, you have a lot of money. Do you remember in Malachi chapter 3? Let me show you that one and we close. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe to the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Do you see that? Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Did you see that? And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. So you did have fruits, isn't it? You did have fruits, but a devourer was making them into zeros, isn't it? Now he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. So it means what you need is not a new miracle of fruits, because you already have fruits, but your problem is the devourer. Do you understand? The waster is the one that's making you poor. Because for whatever job that you're doing, you'll be surprised that other people are living off that same income and are doing wonders with that same money. Do you see? He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Then look at the next verse, verse 12. Verse 12. It says, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land. And you didn't get a new paycheck.
Wow.
Do you understand? Yes, it's just the subtractions were eliminated. The devourer, the waster, was rebuked. And suddenly you are a delightsome land. So it means all along you were a delightsome land, you see, but you could not experience the delight because of the devourer. And sometimes you need tension, financial stress and tension, to open your eye to recognize the devourer, to realize that, you know, this thing I've been doing is a waste of money. Yeah, this thing I've been doing is a waste of money. Instead of going to this place every time, I can do my own thing. Instead of going to buy this here every time, I can do it myself. Instead of doing this all the time, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I can. Oh, a lot of things that people do for you for money, you can do yourself. You can do yourself and save yourself a lot of money. Embrace a new thing. You can do it yourself. Say, but I haven't done it before. Of course you haven't done it before. But that's exactly what the message is about. Behold, I will do a new thing. I've never done it before, but I'll do it. I'm going to try it. And then you do it, and to your surprise, it's working. Suddenly, you have not only freed yourself from a devourer for just one time, but you have liberated yourself from the devourer forever. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're going to learn how to fix your own hair, you will eliminate a devourer for a long time. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? You eliminate a devourer for a long time. Instead of going to give a certain amount of money to someone all the time, let others give it to her, and you also eliminate yourself. Perhaps a day will come when you become like a queen and you have people doing different things for you. Do you see what I'm saying? But the thing is, when you live in the wrong season at the wrong time, when you live like a queen, when you should be living like someone who works for the queen. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what brings poverty to people, because you are spending in the wrong season. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you. Let's embrace new things. Amen. The last two new things God does is that God makes us into brand new people who have never existed before. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then the last one is God makes new agreements and he issues fresh calls to service. Fresh calls to service. Right? Hebrews 8 and verse 13. In that he saith a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Hallelujah. So God makes new covenants and God issues fresh calls for service. God may call people into new things, into new areas to do new things. Hallelujah. Now at the same time, God also makes people into brand new people. Means you can change. Amen. You can change. It will not matter what people have known you for. You can change. Once you know what is right to do, you can change. You can do better. You can be a better person by the grace of God. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close today. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you going to embrace new ideas? Are you going to travel to new places?
Yes.
Yeah. Explore LA. Yes. Amen.
That one.
Yes.
That one.
I told you I met someone who said, my kids will love you. Even she told me later on, I told my kids I met you, they were over the moon. They said, let's go there now. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say that we see actors every day. We meet them in the street. This is LA. You know. But there are things here. Beautiful beaches. Nice, nice places. Go out and explore. Amen. Whatever people travel from outside to come and do here, you can do it for less. Because you live here. Isn't it? And you have a free hotel here. Isn't it? Hotel your house. Yeah? Which comes with free meals. Amen. Bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. Pray again that, Lord, help me not to be someone who is afraid of new things. Help me to embrace new ideas. Help me to be adventurous. Let's just say, Lord, I don't want to be old too quickly. I want to be strong. I want to still bring forth fruit in my old age. And I know that that is possible if I will remain adventurous, if I'll retain my youthfulness and retain my interest in adventure, in the name of Jesus. Makaboro mushotoli baba baburu satana baba baya mushnia. Mikoso kotori alaba barama shandari alaba baba. Mikodoro steke falaba balaba balama shanari alama moshina balaba ba. Ikolo musotori alama moshinari alama balama balaba ba. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maseke de meleme sandari alama ba. Ikamuro mushindeli be katari alama broshe teke bede bebe. Ikoso kotori alama moshinari alama moshinari alaba ba. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I am worried about the time, 'cause Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm that wait on the Lord. Today's message that sometimes our sustenance depends on a new idea that we are willing to embrace. A new place, a new person, a new method, a new way of doing the same old thing. That is where our sustenance lies. We are praying, Lord, that you will help us overcome this natural lack of interest in new ideas that we find in ourselves. This natural aversion, Lord, for things that we are not used to. We pray, Lord, that you will help us deny ourselves. Deny ourselves, say no to our old selves and help us to embrace new ideas, to try new things. Let the spirit of adventure be birthed in us in the name of Jesus, that we may go to new places for you. We may reach new people for you. We may do new things for you in the name of Jesus. Bless the church with innovation. Bless the church with new ideas. Bless the church with new ways of moving forward in the name of Jesus. And help us to recognize them and to flow with them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Amen.